We got Lions. We got Niners tonight. Lomas Brown, former offensive tackle, played for the Lions for over 11 seasons and is their current radio color analyst for 97.1 The Ticket, our sister station out in Detroit. It is an Odyssey station. He's joining us at 9:20 for a breakdown and a preview of this matchup. And we brought up In-N-Out Burger because I was sitting next to some people yesterday, Joe Shasky, when I was eating at In-N-Out Burger in San Carlos. And I just overheard the conversation. I wasn't eavesdropping or anything. Thank you. And they're just talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to Levi's Stadium tomorrow. I can't wait. They're going to an event, a Levi's. Okay, yeah, it's the game tomorrow. So they're going to the Lions game, and they have like a Midwest accent, kind of. So I was like, okay, they're probably Detroit Lions fans. And they're like, wow, yeah, this is a new stadium. We've never been here. Oh, Candlestick. It was so hard getting out of there. The ingress, egress. Oh, the people, clearly Lions fans that have been to Candlestick before. And they were just so excited about going to Levi's Stadium.
Really?
They were so excited that it was like, this is a brand new stadium, basically. It opened about a decade ago. It was like, and I was just like, should I tell them?
Should I tell them what?
It doesn't feel like a brand new stadium.
Well, it's 10 years old. This is the 10th year.
Right? Like, 10 years is a long time. I wanted to tell them in regards to all the new stadiums that we've seen, whether it comes to SoFi Stadium, Allegiant, Mercedes-Benz. I'm not saying that Levi's is bad. I think it's actually grown a lot more on me as the years have gone. It actually has like somewhat of a soul now, given all the playoff history that's taken place. They're undefeated there in the playoffs. Never lost there.
Hey.
There is something to be said about that. But tonight, Joe Shasky, this is where the Lions season ended at the earlier part of this calendar year. It's where they feel like they choked it away. And for the most part, they did. Like, the Lions had no business losing that game with the lead they had. Dan Campbell does Dan Campbell things. I think they're going to overanalyze it and say, you know what, Dan Campbell was overthinking it. No, they had the right play calls. It was dropped. But momentum's a funny thing in sports, and that cost them, and they lost the game. I think they're going to go out for blood tonight, though. What they saw yesterday in regards to their own divisional rivals, the Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings, and Sam Darnold you said it before the show. Is he having a Rich Gannon-like resurgence?
It's incredible.
He wasn't as old as Rich was when he had his resurgence at an MVP year, but he just looks like, is this going to be the Sam Darnold we're going to see going forward? Just, he looks incredible. But if you're a Lions fan watching that yesterday, and if you're Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, and go, oh, okay, yeah, next week you got Sunday Night Football, we're going to play for the number one overall seed. Okay, yeah, we're going to show everyone today why we're the best team, not just in the NFC, but in the National Football League.
I think that Super Bowl loss, the way it happened, we have just completely forgotten about that NFC Championship game. It feels like a lifetime ago. The difference in that game, if we go back to it, everyone's going to bring up the IU catch, which was amazing. The difference in that game for me was the inability of Jared Goff to be able to move in the pocket and make a play once he had to like kind of reset his feet, and the ability of Brock Purdy to scramble. And if I look at this year, and one of the big kind of like, wow, what's going on with Purdy? He scrambled this year and he's ran for some yards, but he hasn't been able to make those throws down the field like he has in the last couple of years. And I look back at that game and it's like Debo was on fire. Ayuk's making plays. Christian McCaffrey had a big run in that one. Nick Bosa was an absolute menace. I don't even think he registered a sack in that game, but he was an unbelievable menace. Trent Williams was playing pretty admirably against Aiden Hutchinson. And the fourth down defense for the Niners was suffocating, even though Reynolds dropped two balls. Special teams was actually good in that game. And they wiped away that deficit in seconds. That third quarter is one of the great third quarters in Niner history. And it just feels like it's lost in time because of the way you lost in overtime to the Chiefs.
It's one of those things, right? And I'm not comparing it to the Warriors in 2016, obviously, but you forget about all those playoff series. Like, there is something about that Oklahoma City series. Like, we remember it and it's great and stuff like that. But also, like, oh, well, doesn't really matter, right? Because he ended up just losing the whole damn thing. So there's nice moments involved in there. But especially with a franchise like the San Francisco 49ers, how'd that happen to, let's say, the Detroit Lions, who don't have any history of the Super Bowl? They've never been to a Super Bowl. Like, that's one thing. Like, that's them getting to an NFC championship last year. That was their high watermark. Like, them having that lead, no one's going to forget that. If they never win a Super Bowl like in our lifetime or in the next 30, 40 years, that's what they're always going to remember. Getting that so close, they had that lead and it's just they choked it away. That's what they remember. So that's why I think they're going to come out with their hair on fire tonight.
The Detroit Lions hadn't won a playoff game on the road since 1957 when they beat the Niners at Kezar.
It's unbelievable.
It's one unbelievable. Of the craziest with Dick Night Train Lane. Yes, that's a name. That's a real name. Go look him up. Like, yeah, it's
the level of ineptitude when it comes to teams in the NFL. It's the NFC, it's the Lions, and the AFC is the Browns. Like, those are the two teams where it's just like nothing can go right for them.
Absolutely nothing. And that's why, you know, what they did this year was remarkable to come back and basically clinch the number one seed with 2 weeks to go. I mean, it's pretty. Now, I know they have to win next week, but it's pretty incredible the season that they've had. Going back to the Niner thing from the NFC Championship game, because I think the Niners have a lot to play for. We'll get to that at some point. But when I think about some of the great plays in 49er playoff history that get lost, the Christian McCaffrey run in Philadelphia, we don't even think about. We literally don't even think about it.
You were there.
Because of the Brock injury. You know, and that's just a play in the middle of the game. But he broke like 1,000 tackles and was just absolutely spectacular. You know, I think about a lot the Kaepernick comeback in Green Bay when it was the frozen tundra and the ground is literally brown and Frank Gore sets that block and they set it up to get a field goal with no time on the clock and Harbaugh's wearing 7 different pairs of khakis. I think about that amazing game against the New Orleans Saints. It was our first playoff game in close to a decade. The entire place is standing. You have the Pierre Thomas hit by Dante Whitner. Like, that was with the Vernon Davis post. All great moments.
I've never cheered harder for the 49ers in that day against the Saints because I could not stand Drew Brees and Sean Payton as a combination.
I hated them.
Yeah, me too.
They should have won that game. If Jimmy Graham goes down at the 3-yard line, they win that game. They just hang on to it, ice the game, kick it out. It was spectacular. And for Alex to do that, given who Alex was at his point in his career, for the Niners to do that with that drought that they had for so long in the playoffs, it was the first home game since 2002 or whatever it was in the playoffs, 2003 against the New York Giants. Like, there was a lot of things converging there. But all of those ones, like, there was a reason why we've stuck and we've remembered those. Like, I brought up that Alex moment to Vernon Davis. That's Vernon's high watermark for his career. That's Alex's high watermark as a 49er. That final 5 minutes, and it sticks and lives in infamy. Why does the Steve Young play with Terrell Owens stick in infamy for so long? Because it took us forever to get through the Packers, and it ended up being Mike Holmgren's final game, and he was a local guy, and we finally beat him with the Packers, and Steve finally got the best of them, and T.O. had dropped 1,000 balls, and it felt like there was the arrival of T.O., you know, at that particular moment. Him crying, and Mariucci embracing him, and so many guys for the Packers having that be their final Packer moment. I think that this Detroit Lion win for the Niners in the NFC Championship game was a special win. I just don't know how we're going to view it in 10 or 15 years because I can't get over not knowing the overtime rules and losing to Mahomes.
Right.
We had that game. And now I look back at this year and this weekend of football that was going on. And it was a great weekend of football, Joe.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't really enjoy it because, like, my Niners aren't involved at all in the playoffs. And it makes me so tremendously sad.
You know what makes me tremendously sad? As you were saying, overtime rules of Kyle Shanahan. Some of these coaches, and that was my main takeaway over the weekend, Raheem Morris, not knowing you have 2 timeouts. Zach Taylor, what are you doing? Just ice the game. Take a knee. Rush it for a yard. I know your running back, Chase Brown, went down. And he looked like he blew out his knee. I don't know what his status is right now. But it's just Joe Burrow had to win a game 3 different times.
Joe Burrow's
amazing. He had to win a game 3 different times and won against the Broncos to keep their season alive. By the way, Bo Nix, he's been impressing me. He's been making me eat my words over in the season where I said you can't trust a quarterback that's been in college that long and is not a doctor in Bo Nix. But so shout out to him and the Broncos. They're going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to be a playoff team. Now, there's still a lot to be played for of this weekend. I think they're going to do it. Chargers, they're in. It's going to be interesting to see the seeding-wise, whether it's going to be the Bills playing them, the Ravens, what have you. But it does suck that we're at this stage, and it's so much fun to watch all these different machinations happening. And the Niners just aren't. What do they have to play for? And you're going to tell me something they have to play for because I'm struggling to see a silver lining here, Joe Shasky. Shout out Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, silver linings playbook.
So let me give you the silver line. And like, I think everybody's been viewing this a little distorted. Like, I think we're obsessed with our players, and I get it. Like, they've retained all your favorite players, and I understand that. And you like those guys, but you also have to get younger. I'm looking at some teams around the league. And look, these are one-year wonders, so we'll see if they're sustainable. Washington had the number 2 overall pick last year.
Certainly.
Now, they nailed the quarterback at field. It feels like. We'll see if he can back the year up that he had this year, right? Like, C.J. Stroud is learning, and Brock Purdy is learning. It's really difficult to be great year in, year out, right? But when I look at Washington, They traded away all those defensive players that we knew. Montez Sweat, Chase Young. Mm-hmm. I can't really name a defender on their team casually. And their defense is pretty solid. They've got Terry McLaurin on offense and one of the Robinsons, one of the 1,000 Robinson running backs.
They still got my boy Daron Payne. Shout out Alabama.
Okay.
It's a sick name.
Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, whatever the guy's name, the defensive lineman from Alabama. But the point stands that I think most casual football fans couldn't name too many Washington defenders. They moved off all those guys, and they feel like this is the weakest version, at least in their heads, because of the money and how they're going to move going forward, and now they're a desirable location. They've got a lot of picks. They feel like this is the weakest version of our team right now, and we're going to be better moving forward. I look at a team like the Broncos, who you referenced, and they're going to probably make the playoffs. They ate a ton of dead cap money with Russell Wilson, and they've kind of bounced back and they figured it out, and they're actually having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the Niners situation, we can move a guy or two that you all like. I don't know who it is. Maybe they keep Debo. Maybe they move Debo. Maybe they keep Trent. Maybe they move Trent. But it's not like everything's barren moving forward, and they can't overcome this. They have to draft well. They have to be smart with their money. They have to get guys back who have been injured, CMC and Brandon Ayuk. But you can turn things around in the NFL. 7 weeks ago, I thought Bryce Young was not an NFL player. Now I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Things change quickly. Now, the quarterback's got to play better.
Yeah.
The head coach has got to kind of shake some things up. They've got to nail this draft. They need young players to continue to develop. But as I look around the NFL right now, and I know it feels really bleak, and I'm sad that the Niners have basically been mathematically eliminated for a month left to go in the season, they can get right back where they need to be in one offseason. I'm looking at the Eagles, and they look like a completely different organization with a lot of the same guys from last year. A couple of tweaks.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. That's your